Sex is having a moment.
Not on this side of the mic. On this side of the mic, sex had its moment. But over here, not so much.
That's funny. For some reason, I guess because of the pandemic, people had more sex, talked about sex more, maybe because they were isolated more. You know, now that people are kind of coming out of it and a little less afraid to date each other and be around, there's a lot more sex talk out there. So I have a couple of sex stories for you, then and then a little lesson in sexuality. So it's
you're going to give me a sex lesson?
I'm going to give you the sex talk.
Nice.
It's about time we had the talk, yeah. All right, so first of all, this is interesting. Research by British sex toy retailer Love Honey found that 52% of couples became more adventurous in the bedroom during lockdown. They tried out role play.
Mm-hmm.
They tried having sex in their car just because they were locked in the house. So they're like, let's go outside of the car. They tried sex games, erotic fantasies, like stuff that they never thought they'd ever do. Like, what the hell? We're stuck inside. Let's just try it. And 71% of those people said that they're going to continue, that the new thing they tried, they really liked.
Yeah, because you couldn't be adventurous with your girlfriend, so you had to be adventurous with your wife. That's why, because you were locked with her. You were locked in the house with her, so you had to, you know, live out your fantasies with your actually husband or wife.
It's funny because I was thinking about this, like, in terms of my friends. I only have a couple of friends that I talk real sex with. It's funny. I have some very close friends who talk about everything except sex.
Mm-hmm.
When your friends are single, you can talk about sex all you want to. But when they're married, it's a little more, it's a little weirder because you know the husband, you know the person that they're talking about. And a lot of my girlfriends are like, you know, out of respect for my husband, I'm not going to discuss our sex life. And then I have other friends who are like, yeah, we were swinging from the ceilings and swinging from the rafters last weekend. They can't wait to tell me the whole thing.
Yeah, and like, you know? Ew, that's gross.
I'm not grossed out by it. I'm kind of interested. Like, I'm interested in how many of my friends are in long-term relationships, how often they have sex.
Well, that's the researcher in you.
Yeah, it's also the voyeur in me as well. I like to watch.
A little bit of both.
But like, I have this one friend who told me that during the pandemic, they tried something where she was going to do a blowjob a day. And she did pretty well.
The same person?
Yeah, her husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was going to do a blowjob a day. And I mean, it lasted for a while. Like, I spoke to her like 4 months in. I'm like, how's that going? She's like, it's still going. I was like, am I speaking to you pre or post? She's like, pre. I was like, ew. Okay.
During. You're talking to me during. Talk quick.
But I just think that was her way of connecting with her husband a little more sexually while they were stuck inside. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was, what's the big deal? She's happy to do it and he enjoys it. So I think she felt like, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did. So since the pandemic, I asked her if she's still doing a blowjob a day. She's like, well, a week.
No, we got married. So that completely stopped that.
Oh, no, they're married. They have two kids.
Oh, they have two kids and she still does that?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, that's kind of awesome. Mm. Yeah. I feel like I was more adventurous when I was in college with my boyfriends. Like, I was more willing to do wackier stuff. I guess because, like, you're in college and the guy's like, let's try this. And you're like, all right. But then when you get older, you have a partner who's like, what do you like? And that stuff that I tried in college, I don't really like that stuff. It was just something I did. Do you know what I mean? So I think we had more sex during the pandemic, but we didn't do anything out of the ordinary. We did our normal stuff. We just did it more often.
Gross.
Okay. This is interesting. Sex therapy has gone mainstream. There's people that are going to sex coaches and sex therapists. And this is very, very interesting that there's a very well-known department store. There was a television show based on it starring Jeremy Piven called Mr. Selfridge. Do you remember that? Okay, maybe not.
No.
But anyway, so it was like on PBS or whatever. So Selfridge's is actually a store in England. It's a real store, like Bloomingdale's, Macy's. It's like one of those kinds of stores. Selfridge is offering sex therapy in stores.
Which section?
I'm guessing accessories, because bedding would make the most sense. But then again, accessories, because like the ties are there. You know what I mean? You can like tie somebody up with a tie. I don't know. Who knows? I didn't ask. Deliveries are up, but not just regular delivery of sex toys. Next day delivery? No, that's a thing of the past. Now it's, I would say, within a half an hour of ordering. There's a couple of different sex toy brands out there. One of them is called Lilo. And they understand that when you order a sex toy, you don't want to wait a week, a day. You don't want to wait for it. Like, I want this now. Okay, you will have it in 30 minutes.
It's like a pizza. You'll get the vibrator before you get the pizza. You should race them. See which one gets there first.
And then every porn will come true if they get there at the same time. It's like, oh, here's your pizza. Here's your dildo. Come on in, boys.
Oh, see, you know? That's the plot right there.
And finally, heteroflexibility is a thing now. Now, you think you know every single sexual identity there is out there, but I don't know if you know what heteroflexible means, do you?
I don't know any of those.
Okay. So it's similar to being bisexual, but it's different. And I'll explain in a second how it's different. So heteroflexibility means that you're mostly attracted to the opposite gender.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mostly are men attracted to. Yeah, you like chicks. I like men. That kind of thing. But every once in a while, you would be open to something with somebody of the same sex.
So like that's you'd be bisexual.
No, and here's why. Here's where it's different. So it's funny. Again, Dan Savage, my guru, I love him. He talks about this. So some people, they identify as one thing and how they have sex has nothing to do with it. So the primary partner, like let's say we're talking about heteroflexible. Your primary partner is somebody of the opposite sex. You mostly have sex with people of the opposite sex. Every once in a while, you may be open to like a threesome or like a dalliance with a random girl you pick up at a bar or just some girl you know, but it's not a relationship. You have relationships with men as a woman, but once in a while you'll have sex with a chick, but not a relationship. As opposed to bisexual, which is somebody that is open to sex and a lot of times relationships as well with both genders. Do you know what I'm saying? And then it has to do with what you feel the most comfortable. Like there's people that are very comfortable saying I'm bisexual. And for them, that means they have sex mostly with men, but once in a while they have sex with women, but they see it as bisexuality. Heteroflexible means I'm open to it. I've done it once or twice. I don't make a habit of it.
How about this? I got a perfect solution. Just have sex with whoever you want to and they want to back. Let's just do that. Let's not put a title on it. Let's just have fun.
Right, as long as it's consensual, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But no, as long as they say it's okay, you say it's okay, it shouldn't matter who they are, what they look like. Doesn't matter.
That's how I've always been about it. But I think what's really interesting about this generation as opposed to like our like older millennials and Gen X and stuff like that, your sexual identity is more important. Like it's more important to figure out what your sexual identity is as part of figuring out your identity in general. Do you know what I mean? Like for some people, their sexual identity is a big part of their identity. So it's important for them to understand what they like, why they like it, who they like. You know, sometimes it's a community. Like if you discover that you're into BDSM, that's a community. You can't be into BDSM by yourself and I guess you can, but most people that are into BDSM, you know, you might want to go to a BDSM sex party, or you might want to find a partner that is also has those same kinks as you do. And that way, you know, there's rules and it's not random. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it depends on what you're into is what I'm saying.
I go back and I blame, it all goes back to every kid on the baseball team getting a trophy. It all boils down to every kid on the team gets a trophy they can take home and put on their desk because now they want to be different. They want to be special, so they got to come up with a name for themselves, and they got to be different.
No, I hate that you feel that way. That's so old. That's such old man thinking.
Then that's old man thing. Just enjoy who you're with. You don't have to give it a title. Everything doesn't. There's a new title every day that nobody can keep up with.
No, because people are very complicated, and because that's what their identity. You can't tell somebody else what their identity is. I will tell you that I have had friends who their entire lives, because our generation, as you know, like gender non-binary, like that whole concept, is relatively new in the culture. And I have friends that grew up where they were like, I don't really feel like the gender I've been born into, but there's really no words for what I am and or who I am. And people my whole life have been misgendering me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have friends that you may look at and be like, oh, that's a girl. And then you talk to them, you're like, wait, no, they identify as a boy. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe they don't identify as either gender. I have friends that when they heard the term gender non-binary, they were finally like, oh my God, that's me. Mm-hmm. And if you met them, you'd be like, yes, that's the identity that you've been searching for. So for some people, I think it's really important that they feel like they belong, because a lot of people that have certain sexual proclivities or identities or something that is a little out of the norm, they feel bullied, they feel odd, they feel odd man out, they feel like outcast. You know, you don't want people to feel like an outcast. You want them to feel like they belong in society, and they're wanted, and we want them, we want you. So I think for a lot of people, look, you and I've discussed this before. You and I both know somebody in particular that is very much one identity.
Mm-hmm.
But continues to use a different identity because they love to be on trend. And that's insulting. It's like, it's one thing if that's truly your identity, but if you're using somebody else's true identity just to call attention to yourself, yeah, I agree with everything you just said about the trophy.
Yeah, and yeah. I wonder how many people do that. That they just want to have something special about themselves. So they come up with an identity because they want to be that. And they want to be special. They want to stand in a crowd of 10 people and they want to be different.
Right. No, you're right. And that's the thing, because there are people that's truly their identity, and there are other people that just want to feel like they're part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's not unlike, you know, the, what was her name? Rachel Dolezal? Rachel Dolezal. That's the white woman who pretended to be black.
Oh, okay.
But I think you're going to get that in every culture, every aspect of society, every identity. Not everybody that calls themselves gender non-binary has been, or heteroflexible, has been waiting their entire lives for a term to define them. You know, some people like you have sex with whoever you want to and don't call it anything. Then there's other people that have been waiting for an identity to fit into, a community to belong to. But then there's the Rachel Dolezals, the people who are
stolen
not
valor.
All.
That's what
stolen valor. Thank you very much. Who glom on to somebody else's identity because they're drawing attention to themselves.
Yep. And I think that's where the problem is.
All right. So if you're wondering to yourself, these two are talking about heteroflexible. What does that mean exactly? Am I heteroflexible? Well, maybe you are. Maybe you are. How would you know? Well, good for you that you're listening to this show right now, because they happen to have a heteroflexibility spectrum test.
And they just came out yesterday. You didn't even hear about this thing since yesterday. So now it's a new thing, and we already have a test for it.
It's been around a while. It's new to you. Yeah. Okay. So if you're mostly into the opposite gender, but you've been attracted to the same gender once or twice in the past,
Okay.
Ooh. Hmm. Hmm. As I remember, perhaps so that might be me.
And go, oh, yeah, Superman did look kind of hot.
There was that one girl. Yeah. No, Lois Lane in this case. Lois Lane did look kind of hot.
Yeah.
You only seriously date people of the opposite gender, but you sometimes like to have fun with the same gender. Okay, so I will answer this for myself and say that I've only dated men, but I've never been with women. So I'm one for two.
Yeah, and I don't even like people, so...
All right, you're happy being straight and identifying as straight, but you are curious about experimenting sexually or romantically with people of the same gender.
No, guys are gross.
You're happy being straight, but you've tried being with somebody of the same gender and you've actually enjoyed it in the past.
Guys are gross.
You don't completely rule out being with somebody who shares your gender, but you'd only do so in special circumstances, like a threesome with your partner, or, I don't know, you're in prison, gay for the stay. I don't know what the special circumstance would be, but...
Yeah, she wants to bring another guy into the relationship to spice it up, and that might be... No, guys are gross.
Okay. Three more, and we'll see if you're heteroflexible. The idea of never being with the same gender makes you feel like you'd be missing out on an important experience.
No. No, not at all.
Yeah, me neither. Or conversely, being with the same gender is something you could take or leave. Like, not a necessity. If it happens at one point in my life, okay. But if not, that's fine.
Hmm. I mean, I would never say 100% never. It could be 99.9, that one, but no, not going to happen.
Right. You know, you can't rule out what happens as you get older.
Yeah, that's why I'm not saying 100%.
Right.
You know, there might be, and there might be that somebody that's your soulmate, and that is, you find them, and that's it. I think that right. happens.
Yeah. And then finally, here's the last one, the last part of the spectrum quiz to see if you are heteroflexible or not. Terms like bisexual or queer don't really feel like they fully capture who you are.